Welcome to Catholic Sports View on Relevant Radio. A look at the athletes and coaches who shape the Trinity League, exploring where athletics meets faith. Now, here is your host, Bob Gibson.
Thanks again for joining us this week on Catholic Sports View. Later on in the show, we'll be talking about girls cheerleading. It is an official CIO sport now, and we're excited to talk about that. We're going to talk Santa Margarita High swimming as well. And in our next segment, we're going to talk to Modern Day Head baseball coach Bert Call. They're headed out to a big tournament in North Carolina, and big things expected out of the Monarchs this season. But we're going to start with boys volleyball, and we welcome in the head coach at Servite High School, Matt Marujo. Coach, thanks again for joining us this week here on Catholic Sports View.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, appreciate it. Off to a good start this season. You're ranked in the top 10 in Division I in the CIF Southern Section rankings. You happy with the start your team's had so far?
Yeah, it's been a good start to the year. The guys have worked hard all off season, and we've seen some good results early with some tournaments and preseason matches. So it's pre-league matches.
Yeah, it actually brings up a great point. It kind of dovetails into my line of questioning to start things off, which is, right, just talk about the work that's put in the off season. I mean, that's really where you set the tone for what the next season's going to be, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So for us, almost all of our guys actually play club at some various different clubs around Orange County. So that's where they get a lot of their volleyball work. And my coaches and I check in with them throughout the season in club. And then for us at Servite, they do a lot of off-season weightlifting and conditioning. And our seniors go through kind of like a leadership preparation course that we've designed. So, yeah, so everyone's kind of does a lot of individual work on their own, and then we kind of bring it together as season gets closer.
Obviously, the early part of the season is non-league, and it's a lot of tournaments and stuff like that. And you don't always control who you get to play, but you've played some really good teams so far, in the non-league. How do you think your team is stacked up against, and especially some of the better teams from San Diego County as well?
Yeah, we've done really well. We always try to enter into tournaments that have a lot of these good teams in it, hoping to run into them, and we've competed and we're right there with them. It's been nice to see you trying to challenge ourselves every time we play.
Yeah, the best of the West. Obviously, that's one of the top tournaments. You saw Torrey Pines there, La Costa Canyon, MiraCosta is one of the top teams out of LA. And of course, right after that, you see the number one team in the nation, Newport Harbor. What's it like to go up against that beast?
Well, you know what? It's a lot of fun for us. I actually coach a lot of those kids in clubs. So that's really fun. It's a small volleyball community, so they are very good. They're really well coached, so it's fun. I mean, they really challenged us, and they're kind of on fire right now. So no one's beat them yet. So hopefully we get another shot at them.
Right, they are having a great season. Matt Marujo joining us, the head volleyball coach at Servite High School, 13-6 as we record here early on in the week. And I want to go back to something you mentioned. It's a small community, the volleyball community. It's so true. Volleyball is a sport that's so indigenous to Southern California. It seems like everybody knows everybody in that community.
Yeah, absolutely. It's to me, it's what it makes it so fun to coach. And be part of it is, every match you either see kids you've coached before in different settings, or, for us, we're really good friends with a lot of the opposing coaches. And it's just really fun to get together and compete. And, yeah, it's just a very unique thing, I think, in high school sports to see that. And you hit the nail on the head. It's just because it's Southern California, everyone's so close, and volleyball is a big part of that community.
Because you can play year round. Obviously, there's the indoor game, there's the beach game, which has really gained a whole lot of steam over the past 30-35 years. I mean, you can play volleyball any time of the year, right?
Absolutely, that's a big part of it. And I think the club scene just adds to it as well. So
Matt Marujo joining us, head volleyball coach at Servite High School. When you take on a Newport Harbor, I mean, obviously it's a tall task. You're swept 2-0 in the match. But what do your kids get out of that kind of just the chance to play that high level of competition?
Yeah, I think you get to measure yourself. We're still pretty young. We still have a lot of juniors and a couple sophomores who are playing for us. So I think it's a really good measuring stick for us as a program and as a team to see where we're at and where we want to get to, because obviously we would like to be at that level where we're well, we're beating Newport Harbor. So I think it's really good for us to see that and then be able to get back and watch film on it and look at the areas that they exposed and what we need to get better at.
Yeah, obviously, you know, you're in the Trinity League, and we know the Trinity in any sport is quite a hill to climb to win a league championship, no matter with the sport. Volleyball, certainly no exception. You know, it seems like it's, it's always tight at the modern day. Santa Margarita are always right there. I mean, how do you break into that top group and get over the top against schools like that?
You know, I think we've been pretty fortunate. We've been at the top a few times, and we're consistently in that race. So I think our kids have grown up in the program competing and playing at that level. So I just think we talk a lot about critical moments. I think in each match is just winning those critical moments and hopefully stringing together some good matches and winning some at the end. So we're off to a decent start. We're 1-1 right now. We actually lost to Santa Margarita on Friday, but the five-set match, so we're excited to play them again down at their place.
Yeah, you know, Jay Sarah, the win over them, right, and then the loss to Santa Margarita, right. You know, you get multiple looks at these teams. Do you feel like your team's coming together at this time, or are they still have work to do, and you want them to peak, obviously, towards the end of the season as it gets towards the postseason?
I think we're in a really good spot. I think we're starting to come together in some really critical areas. The really nice thing for us is we have a match this Wednesday, and then we actually take a spring break. So we played almost 20 matches over these last 3 weeks. So we'll kind of finish league up, and then we're able to give these kids a couple days. And I think that for us, we've always used spring break to get guys rested, but also really tie everything together and make a push towards the end of league, where I think over the last few years, we've been really successful the second half of league coming out of spring break. So I like exactly where we're at. So it's a good balance.
Is that important? Because obviously we're talking about kids who obviously have school and so many other things that are going on in their lives. It's sometimes good just to get a break, you know, mentally and physically away from volleyball. I mean, you obviously want your kids' focus to be on that, but is it sometimes good just to get that break a little bit and kind of detach from it for just a second?
Yeah, I think it's huge. I think rest is underestimated as a way to get better sometimes. But I think it's good. I think it's good for the kids to get a break from each other, to get a break from us, you know, get healthy. Volleyball is definitely a sport that takes a wear and tear on their body. So being able to give them a few days and then it's Easter, you know, so it's a great time to be with their families and keep that thing keep family as a priority. And then we all kind of come back together as a team, as a family, and just kind of re-energize. And it's just a really good feeling come out of Easter and practicing again.
Yeah, Matt Maruo is the head volleyball coach at Servite High School and has the Friars off to a good start. As you mentioned, ranked 8th in Division 1 in the CIO Southern Section, and that's a pretty good place to be. That's a tough top 10 to crack for sure. There's lots of good teams on the outside looking in at that top 10. When you kind of look at that group of teams, does it seem like, wow, you know, we must be pretty good if we're in that top 10?
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's an awesome honor. I actually helped put that list together. I'm on the committee for the CIF Division One. It is a really good honor that the other coaches see us there, and I'm constantly doing my own research to help the rankings. So there are a lot of really good teams that aren't there. So just got to keep it in perspective, and we want to be there at the end of the season. More importantly,
it really seems like the it's Orange County and LA County. Based, Loyola, Redondo Union, MiraCosta, all those usual schools that we see in the Alamanis, ranked 9th. Are we starting to see volleyball, the Inland Empire schools, you know, sometimes seem to lag a little bit as they're coming in? Are we starting to see volleyball grow more into some of those areas?
Yeah, absolutely. I think if you look at, like, the D2 ranking, you have schools like Calabasas that are good and they're ranked, and your Alamanis are out there, and Thousand Oaks has done a good job. I mean, it is starting to grow, and we're seeing it on the club side of it, that more clubs are popping up and kids are playing more. So I think, in a few years, you're going to see those kids trickle into high school, and there's going to be some more teams growing out there, which will be really good for California to then have, San Diego, Southern California, Orange County, LA, and then Inland Empire would be awesome too.
Matt Maruo joining us, the head volleyball coach at Servite High School. And you mentioned the club game a couple of times. And volleyball is really this one sport where club is, it seems to be embraced more than some other sports. It's almost like, there's that delineation between club and high school. But really, when it comes to volleyball, that's always been an embraced culture.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think you touched on it earlier, it's a really small community.
Yeah.
And so a lot of us who coach high school also coach club. And with that, the schedules work together. They help each other. Both club directors are really supportive of high school, and all of us high school coaches are really supportive of club. And they're working together to bring the most out of each individual athlete as an athlete and even as a person. So it's just, it's one big machine, all kind of working together for these kids and hoping that they have the best experience with volleyball and through high school and really prepare them for the next phase of their life going into college.
Yeah, obviously there's always a pull to get, the best athletes, to come play at your school. Obviously Modern Day wants them to come there. You want them to come to Servite. Santa Margarita would love to have the kids come there. What's the perfect kid? What's the kid you want to commit to come to Servite?
You know what? I think each kid has their own decision to make. And for us, the perfect kid is the kid who wants to be here. I tell parents that all the time, that at the end of the day, if your kid doesn't want to be here and you don't want to be here, it's probably not going to be the best of fit. So I know it's a weird answer, but it's the kids who really want to be at Servite. It's the families that embrace what we do, in terms of forming faith-filled leaders. And those are the kids that fit really well. I'm an alumni of the school, and those are the kids I get along with the best that just, they want to be here. And that's okay. There's kids who really want to be at Servite, and there's kids who really want to be at Modern Day. And I think for all of us in the training, we all do really well with the kids we end up with. And we have a really good league that plays some really good volleyball.
Yeah, you mentioned you're an alumnus of Servite. I would imagine that helps when you're talking to a kid, that you know what it's like to walk in their shoes and be a Friar.
Yeah, absolutely. The school has changed in a good way since my time has been here. But it is good. I think you relate to the kids a little bit differently, and just having gone through it and being able to explain to them that, hey, you are going to struggle, and that's part of high school. That's part of Servite is to be challenged and to struggle and to go through it. So I think it is a really good relationship, both as a teacher with my students and then as a coach with my athletes.
Well, 13-6, and we mentioned 1-1 in the Trinity League, and I know you got the bulk of the Trinity League still to go here, and it's going to be quite a battle. Coach, thanks for joining us. We wish you luck, and we're going to be following Servite as we head towards the postseason. It's going to be a lot of fun once we get to those Southern Section playoffs.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Thanks again. That's Matt Marujo, the head volleyball coach at Servite High School. We'll have much more to come right here on Catholic Sports View. Stay where you are. This is Relevant Radio.
Well, it's that time of year for us Catholics all around the world. It is Lent, and that means, as is tradition, we are here with Wahoo's co-founder, Wing Lam. And Wing, tell us about what you have for us this year.
Well, Mike, what better way to observe Lent than by having some fish tacos on Friday? And this year, we got some crispy ones waiting for you. Something a little bit different. We've been grilling using Cajun spices. Now we got something a little more crispy for you to try out during Lent.
If it's Fridays and it's Lent, it's got to be Wahoo's fish taco. Thanks, Wing.
Thank you, Mike. We'll see you at the stores.
Underwritten by the Roman Catholic Diocese of Orange, a community of 1.3 million Catholic faithful on a journey of faith together.
Breaking news! A new and very special guest has been added for our Holy Land cruise this July. None other than Bishop Kevin Vann.
Join Bishop Vann, along with Bishop Tim Fryer, the diocesan choir, and priests from throughout the Diocese of Orange on a pilgrimage to Vatican City and Rome, followed by a Mediterranean cruise that will take you to some of the most beautiful and historic sites in all of Christendom. Call 877-538-0010 or go online to occatholic.com/travel.
Welcome back to the program. Let's welcome in the swimming and diving coach at Santa Margarita High School, and that is Ron Blanc. Coach, thanks for joining us this week again on Catholic Sports View.
Oh, you're very welcome. Always glad to be on the show.
Yeah, we had you on a year ago. We talked about it. We had you and your brother on. Of course, you guys are the co-head coaches of the girls and boys swimming and diving programs at Santa Margarita. It's obviously a unique thing, and we'll touch on it a little bit again. And it's a complete family structure over there at Santa Margarita High School. But part of it too, there's so many, the Zeitlers are over there and they're running the track program. There really is that family feeling at Santa Margarita, isn't there?
Absolutely. And it's so much fun at lunch when you get actually a chance to sit down with your family at lunch in the cafeteria. But we've been very, very blessed to have as many family members being involved with our swim program over the years, with our sister, my brother's wife, my brother's mother-in-law. So it is a quintessential family all the way.
Yeah, it just makes it, you know who you're dealing with, right? When you have disagreements, maybe on things that will come up, you know, you guys are all pulling on the same end of the rope.
Well, that's what's so cool. I mean, my brother and I, we've known each other since we were born. And there will be some times when we have difference of opinions, but it's always so awesome to be able to just talk it out and resolve it. And we know that we can trust the fact that we can say what we're thinking and not worry about holding back, and then being able to continue to just work together. And we've been doing that now for 30 years, so I guess something's working.
Yeah, no, it's definitely working, as we'll talk about. We know the history of the program. Obviously, this year you guys have a top program, you know, once again, as you do every year. And I guess the bigger picture is that the athletes, they want to be part of this program. You know, you mentioned 30 years in, but the athletes still want to come in and have you guys coach them.
Well, we can certainly say that we've been blessed, absolutely blessed from the very beginning. From the first day as we started to build the program at Santa Margarita 22 years ago is when we started here, and just seeing the kids come in and want to be a part of it. And I think that's been the goal that we've tried to establish, is we want to make sure that the kids leave here feeling they've had an amazing four-year high school experience with the swimming program. And word can spread, you know, if kids enjoy what they're doing and we're very honest about what's taking place, you know, positive word of mouth will spread and kids in the future will want to come here to Santa Margarita and swim for us.
It's obviously a bigger picture thing too at Santa Margarita. We know the entire athletic program, the same person running the athletic department for the entire history of the school. Those things really matter, don't they?
Oh, it does. And I've known Rich Schaff for many, many years,
yeah.
Not only since he's been the athletic director here at Santa Margarita, but he was my JV basketball coach when I was in high school at Mater Dei.
Oh my gosh.
So I've known him now for even a little bit longer than that.
It's crazy that the small community that really this Catholic community is here in Orange County, there's so much crossover, right? Obviously the rivalry between Santa Margarita and Mater Dei, but there's so much crossover too, and there's really that family feeling between all the schools.
There is, and I think that's why the competition, whenever we swim against other schools, but then the competition in all sports, it is so much fun. It is so exciting and intense, and we get so many fans to show up. And it's because there is that commonality that exists between the Catholic schools and then a natural fun rivalry. And we don't see that when we swim against some of the other schools, but when it comes time to swimming one of the Catholic schools, it's a big party.
Yeah, Ron Blanc, the co-head coach of diving and swimming at Santa Margarita High School, joining us this week on Catholic Sports View. Yeah, I've talked about this with other coaches. Part of it, too, you mentioned, right, but, you know, maybe competing against other schools that aren't Catholic schools. But when you do get a chance, even an Orange Lutheran, you know, who's in the Trinity League and a Christian-based school, you know, the opportunity to pray before an athletic event and to come together as fellow Catholics and in fellow Christians, does that help? Sometimes with that feeling of like, hey, you know, you really want to beat that other team, and you have feelings of, hey, you really want to get in there. But, you know, in the end, you know, we're all pulling on the bigger team, right?
Absolutely. When we think about it, what is the most important thing of what we do as educators here in these the schools in the Trinity League? It's our faith. It's that grounding of having a belief in God and knowing that our Christian faith is the basis for everything that we do. We talk to our kids about, hey, it's when it comes time to race, you know, you're racing and you're competitive. But before and afterwards, you're shaking your hand with your competitor. You're showing respect because we're all on the same journey. And it's more than just a journey of swimming. It's a journey of life as our, you know, young men and women are growing up and becoming the adults that they're supposed to be in God's eyes. That's what the reason why we're here, and that's the unifying theme for all the schools in our league.
Yeah, amen to that. Well said. Okay, this year's team, of course, another group of great athletes. The season is just kind of underway. Things are just starting to get going in the spring season, but obviously there's a big sense of excitement once again within your swimming and diving programs.
Well, we're very, very fortunate to have such amazing kids and a great coaching staff, and we're looking at the boys' team, and we're a little young this year, but we've already had some very successful meets, and it's very exciting to see how strong they can be. And I think we'll find out over the next 2 months and when the season ends. And on the girls' side, this may be the best girls' swim team we've ever had in our 30 years of coaching, and to see how amazingly talented they are, but also they're a bunch of nice kids, too. And being able to see how hopefully all this will come together at the end of the season with, you know, at CIF and our state championships that's what something we're very much looking forward to.
Now, that really says something. When you say this really has a chance to be the best, I mean, that really means something, because you've had some great, you know, girls programs, obviously, over the years. What makes this one maybe stand out a little bit more than some of the other great ones you've had?
Well, we only graduated a couple of girls from last year, mm-hmm. and last year's team were named the private school national champions.
Right.
And number two in the whole country, only behind a public high school in Indiana. So it's something that we have. We actually talk to our kids about this, is, you know, what are the opportunities for us to win a national championship? And the kids are very excited about that possibility. They all realize that they can play a part in that progression in that championship. So it's something that, as we'll go through the season, we'll just kind of keep reminding everybody about how some of the other high schools across the country have done. Because all of the other high schools in swimming have already finished their high school seasons. So we already know what times we have to set as goals and what times we have to try to accomplish to see if we can win that national championship.
You know, swimming is an interesting sport, because we're talking about, you know, fractions of a second that will make the difference in between winning and losing. And to the untrained eye, you know, we watch and it looks like, you know, the same event, you know, everybody's swimming. What are the things that you can do coming into a new season, even to push some of your great swimmers to be able to shave just those little fractions of time off to push them to be even better?
Well, we talk about the small details. And it's the small details that add up to bigger time drops and even just a small little adjustment that they can make on their turns, for example. They have three turns in a 100-yard race. You just add, you know, so you subtract off a little bit of time on each turn. You multiply that by three, and now all of a sudden you're going to be getting your best time. And so it's the attention to that small detail that we preach, even to the kids who've been swimming for many, many years.
Ron Blanc again joining us this week. He and his brother run the swimming and diving programs at Santa Margarita High School. They are the co-head coaches. But as we talked about, it's a family affair over there at Santa Margarita High School. A lot of family members, you know, joining in and helping this program out. When you look at this group and you have such a talented group of swimmers, is it the older swimmers pushing the younger swimmers? Or is it the older swimmers thinking, hey, these younger swimmers are pushing us to be even better because they're coming up, maybe trying to get our spots?
I think it's a combination of both. The younger swimmers, they want to, you know, establish themselves. They mm-hmm. want to push the upperclassmen. And the upperclassmen are like, wait a minute, we've been here now for a couple of years. We need to make sure that we're doing all the things that we can to continue to be the leaders. And it's a nice mix of veterans as well as the newbies that create the chemistry of our team and the culture of our team. And we want to make sure that, you know, we don't make the freshmen carry everybody's bags. We don't make the seniors, you know, have privileges that are not available to the younger kids. We do want to make sure that they all understand that they're all the same family. And only through working together can we actually have a team that is cohesive. And it pays off in the results in the pool. If the kids enjoy swimming for each other, they're going to swim well, and then the team will be successful.
Are those some of the best competitions, the ones that come in practice?
Well, yes. And the fact that we have boys and girls training at the same time, because then the boys don't want to get beat by the girls and the girls want to beat the guys. And so there is a very competitive atmosphere where they're pushing each other to continue to get better.
And you bring up a great point. How different do you have to approach training regimens, or do you have to approach them differently at all when it comes to coaching girls versus boys?
The training itself isn't that different. But when we start to, there's a process called tapering and resting at the end of the season. Girls and guys may have different needs for how much rest they get and to be able to swim their fastest. Because at the end of a high school season, you taper off, you reduce the amount of workload so that the body has more energy to be able to swim at their fastest. And so guys and girls are going to be a little bit different. And so those will be some of the smaller adjustments that we have to make during the course of a season.
What makes a good swimmer? Who's the ultimate athlete that comes in and becomes a great swimmer?
Well, it's someone who's maybe not necessarily that good on of a land sport athlete, because we've seen a lot of our best swimmers don't necessarily perform athletically well in land sport. But it's do you have a feel for the water? Do you feel the water in your hands where the water doesn't slip past your hands and you feel like you can control it and to push the water to make you go faster? But above all that, I mean, granted, there's some naturally gifted athletes that we have. It's the ones that are mentally really strong, the ones that want to improve, the ones that want to work hard. Those are the ones that, personally, I would rather work with anyway, just because those are such when you see them improve, it is so incredibly rewarding for a coach. But it's also seeing that joy from the kid when they go, wow, I just dropped, you know, 3 seconds off my 50-yard freestyle time, which is a huge amount. And so it's a combination of God-given talents, but it's also God-given dedication and drive and motivation to want to do well.
We're talking the Santa Margarita High School swimming and diving this week with Ron Blanco, head coach with the Eagles. When you look at your league, obviously there's some other talented teams out there, but they're, in their minds, right, they're chasing you guys. So there's always that thought that those schools are kind of aiming with you guys with the target on you.
Well, it's something that we approach every meet, no matter who the competition is, with a great deal of respect for opponents. We don't want to ever take anybody lightly. One, it would be certainly disrespectful to them, but it's also to make sure that our kids are understanding that you have to be focused every time in every meet, because if you do have a target on your back and people are going after you, you need to make sure that you're approaching each meet with a very respectful manner, but also very focused manner to always do your best. I do believe that that's, when we pray, but before every meet and after every meet, we're asking God for the ability to perform to the best of the God-given abilities that he's provided us. And if we can do that, that means we're being respectful to ourselves, but we're also being respectful to our opponents.
Who are the other top programs around Southern California? Who's your top competition this year?
Well, on the boys' side, there's of Catholic schools. There's going to be a school in Los Angeles, Loyola High School. Mm-hmm. They're going to be very tough. There's some local schools around here on the boys' side, Northwood High School, Tesoro High School. That is also going to be very strong. And on the girls' side, there's going to be a few schools like Tesoro and Woodbridge that will be pushing us all the way through. And so it'll just be fun to see how the season unfolds and how everybody starts to drop time and starts to improve as the season gets to its conclusion.
Another minute here with Ron Blanc, the swimming and diving coach at Santa Margarita High School. I don't want to neglect diving. We've talked so much about swimming, but obviously the diving program, which I think doesn't maybe get as much attention as it probably should within, the diving seems to be a little more niche than swimming. Is that accurate?
That would be. We're just very blessed that here in Southern California, diving is a very popular sport. And so there may be other states across the country that diving is not really done. But here in Southern California, we see some very, very high-level divers. And so we're blessed. We have one boy on our diving team, and we have five girls on our diving team. And all of them have the ability to qualify for CIF and have a chance to do very, very well at CIF. And hopefully a few of them can make it to our state championships, too.
Obviously, I would think it's a whole different mindset to coach, your swimmers and, okay, now I got to go you coach diving, which is a completely different event itself.
It is incredibly technical what these kids do on the diving boards, but they're also have got tremendous courage. I've tried to do a few minor diving stunts in my life and not gotten anywhere close to what our kids can do. So, again, tremendous respect for the dedication that they have. My brother and I, we can help them organize at meets and be more of their meet managers. But the technical aspects of diving, we do partner with the club diving coaches because they're going to be the ones that are the real experts on that.
It's so true. The intricacy of it is just amazing, when you watch it all happen. I mean, just I would think that with diving, it's the repetition of doing it over and over and over again. And then the body just sort of automatically does what you're training it to do.
Well, if you're having to think during your dive, then that means you're probably in trouble. It just has to come naturally. And again, it's done through the repetition, it's through practice. And, same thing with swimming and pretty much with any other sport. You do your homework, you do your work in practice. And then so the meets and the competition is where, your talent gets to shine forth. But if you've done your work and if you've done the repetition and practice, then you don't have to really think about it. You just allow your body to react and do it.
Yeah. Well, it's so much fun for us here at Catholic Sports View to be able to cover, this league and your program and then be nationally recognized as you are. Coach, good luck this year again. We know you're going to do well, and maybe this is the year you push forth and get that national championship again and bring it home here into the Trinity League. Thanks for joining us again.
Oh, you're very welcome. God bless.
You too. That's Ron Blanc, the co-head swimming and diving coach at Santa Margarita High School. Much more to come right here on Catholic Sports View when we come back. Stay with us. You're listening to Relevant Radio.
underwritten by the Roman Catholic Diocese of Orange, a community of 1.3 million Catholic faithful on a journey of faith together. Join us this year at the annual Orange Catholic Foundation's Conference on Business and Ethics at Hotel Irvine, Friday, May 4th. This incredible conference is packed every year with men and women who are truly making a difference in our diocese. It's also a wonderful way to raise funds to provide financial aid for students who are unable to afford a quality Catholic education. To sponsor this year's event or purchase tickets, go online to orangecatholicfoundation.org, and we'll see you on May 4th.
Welcome back to Catholic Sports View. We welcome into the program Bert Call, the head baseball coach at Modern Day High School. Coach, thanks for joining us this week.
Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. Always excited to talk Monarch baseball. And you guys got a little slower start to the season, I guess, or a little later start than most of the other teams. Was that by design? I kept seeing Modern Day 0-0 when other teams had played six or seven games. So why the late start for the Monarchs this season?
Yeah, mainly has to do with our spring break tournaments. We decided to travel to North Carolina to play in the NHSI. So I had to give up my preseason tournament to be able to do that. So push back some of my non-league games so we were able to play, so we didn't have such a huge break between games before we traveled to North Carolina. So I just adjusted the schedule to have a little bit later start.
Makes sense. Well, that NHSI tournament, I mean, that's become one of the big deals of the baseball season. And to be a part of that is really a big deal.
It is. And our kids are really looking forward to it. And it's a great opportunity for our program to go out to North Carolina and to participate in that such a prestigious tournament and against some great teams all across the country.
Well, in the meantime, it's been a little bit of a slow start for the Monarchs, and I get it. Baseball fans know it's a marathon, not a sprint when it comes to the baseball season. But you can't be too happy seeing your team get off to a 1-4 start.
No, we're a little frustrated with our start, and it's something that we're working on, and I'm sure the kids will respond and we'll get back on track here, and I'm pretty confident that. We'll be able to get where we need to, and we just got to continue to play together as a team and continue to compete. I think things will fall into place.
Something you can put your finger on, or is it just that's just the nature of baseball? You go out. I mean, your first game, you lose an extra inning game. So, I mean, it's just, that's just baseball sometimes.
It is. And, we'd like to, I think one area that we'd like to see is, our offense has struggled a little bit right out of the get-go. And so we're working hard to get our offense going and being able to manufacture runs and score some runs too.
Bert Call, head baseball coach at Modern Day High School, joining us. Was it a little frustrating for the kids to, they're reading the headlines and seeing the other teams kind of get going and we're seeing, Servites of school just putting runs on the board like crazy. Were they kind of like horses in the starting gate? Like, come on, let us go here.
A little bit. I mean, you always want to, it's hard when you see other teams getting going, but, I told the team well in advance kind of why I did the scheduling the way it is. And, they understand that traveling to North Carolina and then coming back the week later and playing in the Boris Classic, those are two, marquee events that they have the opportunity to. And, I just told them to be patient and we'll just get started and then we'll just keep plugging away.
You just led me right into my next question, which I wanted to talk about the Boris, right? You come back from North Carolina, you'll play in the Boris Classic, two huge, to tournaments. What do you expect to learn about your team, I guess, when they go up against such big competition? Because as we know, the Trinity League is going to be a free for all once we get into league.
Right. And anytime you play in these big tournaments, it's going to be very comparable to the Trinity League. So, these next 2 weeks, we want to play, I call it playoff baseball, where we're competing at a high level against very quality teams and that we can, develop and grow as a team so that we're prepared, once the Trinity League hits, that we can be off and running.
Bert Call again joining us this week on Catholic Sports View. The Modern Day Monarchs off to a little bit of a slow start so far this season, but looking to get things going. Does it sometimes help just to get away? Will a trip like this, maybe be just what the doctor ordered and it's a good team bonding experience for the guys?
Yeah, I think so. I think, it's a good timing where we can, just focus in on our team and playing baseball and we're out of state in North Carolina and we can just, do a lot of team things, team building, and then also play against some great competition. So I think it'll help our team and give them some, energize them a little bit as far as, you know, being out there and competing at a high level.
I touched on the Trinity a little bit, and we've been breaking it down here on our program for the past couple of weeks, with our baseball previews this season. You know, St. John Bosco may have surprised some people, you know, on the outside a year ago winning the Trinity. I know it didn't surprise you or anybody else in the league. Everybody else knew how good Bosco was. But, Orange Lutheran got all the headlines last year kind of going into the season, and your team gets a lot of the headlines. But when it comes down to it, any of these teams in this league can finish 1-2-3. I mean, the last-place team in the Trinity is a first-place team in almost any other league, right?
It is. And, I mean, the Trinity League's so – I mean, there's such good teams, and there's so much talent on each team that there's so much parity that each game is, pretty intense and pretty good atmosphere, and the kids love playing in that type of environment and stuff. So, we're looking forward to, playing in the Trinity League and competing against, the other five schools, and it's makes for a fun five weeks for the league season, and so we're looking to for that too once we get done with all our tournaments.
I have to think that it helps to have an experienced team who's kind of gone through that gauntlet a little bit and experience what it's like to kind of be in that pressure cooker.
It does. Sometimes you can't teach experience, and especially your kids that are coming back, have gone through the Trinity League maybe 1 or 2 years, and they understand kind of the demands from game to game and the intensity. And hopefully what, can happen is that they kind of help the younger players understand that and develop that rapport so that once, the Trinity League season does hit, that, we're off and running and that the younger players, catch up real quick and be able to, be able to perform in that environment.
Do you keep an eye at all on the other teams in the Trinity or other based, or are you so focused on what your team's doing it's hard to kind of look, or do you kind of sneak a peek every once in a while, see what the scores are and who's doing what?
No, you always do as a coach. You always want to see who you're going to be against. And so, you go out and you do your scouting and your preparation for those teams and, see them play. And then you can prepare your team, what to expect and, what type of game that they play or philosophies that they have. And so, we're always, looking, at each other's teams and scores and seeing how they're doing so that, we're better prepared for once we enter the Trinity League.
Does it feel like the stakes get raised, each and every year? I mean, we're talking about not only, Trinity and in Southern California, but it seems like every team in the Trinity is nationally ranked at some point.
Yeah, I mean, it is something each year, you have each year's higher expectation and it's something that as an athlete you want to be a part of and be in that environment. But, I think all the teams each year, it gets amped up a little bit more each year. And I think, a lot of our teams will thrive in those environments. And I think it's good for the kids to be able to have that pressure and be perform when they're uncomfortable or when there's, a lot of things at stake that they can kind of rise to the occasion and be able to develop as an athlete and as a leader and develop those characteristics that'll help them play at the next level.
I believe this is your 24th year, something like that, as a teacher at Mater Dei, 17 or 18 as part of the baseball program. Is that sound about right?
I've been in the 24 years at the school teaching and part of the baseball program. And then this is my 19th year as the head coach.
Okay, 19th year. So we're closing in on 20 years here. Obviously, my point is you're a veteran at the school and the dean of the coaches in the Trinity League. How much does that help you? Because I know we've got some new coaches, that have come in the last couple of years into. But how much does that help you, do you think, to have that you've been there? You've been that rock at Mater Dei for so long now.
Well, I think, it does help me. And, I've gone through a lot of different experiences and had to, manage, a lot of different teams and different types of teams. So, which then helps me, adjust, to each year and each team and it gives me, insight a little bit as far as the Trinity League and the different schools and, you know, and it does help me and help my players, you know, have that experience. And, you know, the other Trinity League schools, you know, too, have great coaches, and, you know, they do a good job too as well. And so we coaching fraternity in the Trinity League is, you know, very close. We get all get along, and, but we also want to compete and beat each other when we play and go against each other. So it makes for, again, you know, a fun atmosphere and a situation that you always want to come back with and compete and year after year.
Yeah, we're talking with Bert Call, the head baseball coach, Modern Day Monarchs. And I wanted to ask you about your coaching staff. It's so important for any head coach to have a great coaching staff with you, because you can't do it alone. You got to have those great assistant coaches, and you do have one of those great staffs alongside you.
Yeah, I do. And, you know, I have Coach Ikes, who's been around, you know, for a number of years, and he was the head coach before me. And so he's kind of has a wealth of knowledge. And, you know, I have Brock Floro, my pitching coach, who played at Cal State Fullerton, you know, a young, fiery coach, and does a, you know, really good job. And then one of my former players, Carlos Conejo, doing the infielders. And he has a lot of different dimensions to our program. So, yeah, it's nice to work with a great staff and kind of see their insights and see kind of how they coach, and, you know, and it's fun to watch them.
You still get fired up about this? Is it still fun for you to get out there and do this each and every year?
Yes, of course. I mean, it's, you know, kind of what I wanted to do, and just the competitiveness and during the season is something I really enjoy. And then also trying to build a team and work with the kids to understand their, you know, to reach their expectation and their goals is fun to be a part of, and fun to help them and mentor them, you know, in their baseball careers.
Yeah, does that mean just as much to you too? We focus on the kids that have gone on to play college ball, and then the very few that, you know, get to go on, very few nationally, but in this area there's quite a few that get to go on to play professional baseball, but so many other kids, you know, go on to be whatever else they do in life, and so it's, you know, I as a head coach, right, to set that whatever that kid does in their life, whether it's baseball or a doctor or a lawyer, whatever they end up being, you know, that's the payoff for you, right?
It is. It's always nice to, you know, have your former players come back and share what they're doing and the successes they've had in life, and, you know, and with their, you know, careers and their families and stuff. So that's always been enjoyable for me to be a part of and to listen to that. And so it's always, we always have an alumni game every year, and it's always nice to see them and hear their experiences and some of the things that they, you know, have done throughout their lives and stuff after Modern Day.
Well, yeah, as we mentioned, off to a little bit of a slow start, but we hope that getting back to North Carolina here in the NHSI, and two-time winners of that tournament, that does that make you guys kind of royalty back there a little bit?
Well, I don't know about I mean, we are proud of our, you know, winning it 2012 and 2013 and the first 2 years of the NHSI. And, you know, this year's, you know, team wants to be held to, you know, those teams as well and come back with the championship. So I know they're going to go out there and compete, and I know things will fall into place for them, and hopefully that we can bring back that trophy.
Well, we wish you luck out there in North Carolina. We'll catch up with you at the Boris. I'll be out there, and we'll be rooting on the Monarchs. And I know it's going to be fun in this Trinity League season. Once again, it's going to be crazy, but a whole lot of fun. And the whoever's left standing at the end is going to have earned that championship.
Yes, they will.
Coach, we want to thank you again for joining us, and we'll talk to you soon. We appreciate it.
All right.
All right, that's Bert Call, the head baseball coach at Modern Day High School. Much more to come right here on Catholic Sports View. Stay with us.
This is Deacon Steve Greco, and I'm radio host of the show Empowered by the Spirit. I've recently written a book, Expect and Experience Miracles, that is available on Amazon. And the reason we did that is because the Lord Jesus Christ wants to shower us with his love and shower us with his grace, which is unmerited favor. The definition of miracle is God's supernatural intervention in our lives. And Jesus does that all the time. Let's be open to it. Expect miracles, and you will see the grace that God has in store for you. God bless you all.
Welcome back to Catholic Sports View. And my guest right now is Corey Johnson. She is the cheer director at Costa Mesa High School. And I know that's not a Trinity League school. We cover the Trinity League here on our show on Catholic Sports View. But I think this is an important topic to talk about. And Corey has been at the forefront of cheerleading and the cheerleading program at Costa Mesa High School. National champions, nationally recognized, and a big thing going on. Corey, thanks for joining us here this week.
No problem. It's totally an honor for you to interview me about cheer. And my heart's with Trinity League a little bit, too. My mom taught there. My sisters went there. And got to support all the schools in Orange County.
Perfect. No, that's good. So we do have a connection, which is good. And
in modern day,
we'll talk about it. Modern day is actually the only Trinity League school right now that's sort of participating in it. And we'll talk about the two sides of cheer as we go along with the interview here. But talk to me a little bit about this recent development this year with CIF. And CIF is going to recognize, you know, cheer as a sport now for the girls who participate in it.
Right. In the 17-18 school year, that's the first year that CIF has recognized cheer as a sport. And there's actually three components of cheer being a sport. There's the traditional sideline, which is not recognized. And that's what everybody knows about cheerleading, you know, cheering on the football teams, basketball teams, on the sidelines, doing rallies, community service, et cetera. Then there's traditional competitive cheer, which most people are familiar with. It's what you see on ESPN, going to competitions. So they are recognizing that as a sport as well, and that actually Mater Dei and Santa Margarita and St. Joseph, I believe Rosary also, they all compete in that.
Okay.
And then there's a third aspect, which is called competitive sport cheer, which is also known as stunt. And that is the new game situation of cheer. And that's been around for about 8 years at the college level to satisfy Title IX requirements. They have introduced it to the high school within those 8 years as well, but this is the first year that the state of California and CIF is recognizing it. So it's in its inaugural year, so there's a lot of learning and growing, but it's amazing. In fact, our first game is tonight, and we're super excited about it, but it's a really unique format. It's four quarters. The first quarter is stunting. The second quarter is pyramids. Third quarter is jumps and tumbling, and fourth quarter is a mixture of all three. And the teams go head-to-head on the same mat, and they learn the same exact routines, and they perform those routines, and judges do minor and major deductions, and points are awarded for each round, and there's four rounds in each quarter, and go from there, and you get points, and you win, and there's forfeits and strategies, and it's really exciting, and it's a little bit more understandable to people that don't know cheer. I know it's when you go to cheer competitions and you don't really understand cheer and you see this great routine, you're like, oh my God, why didn't you win? You did this better.
Right.
And they don't really understand how judges work. Stunt, you kind of can see, oh yeah, I see how they were awarded the point for that. They did it better, or, you know, they dropped or whatever. So it's going to really bring some more understanding to the sport of cheer as well.
Corey Johnson joining us, the cheer director at Costa Mesa High School, and we're talking about cheer being recognized finally by the CIF as a sport. In your opinion, and I know you've been the cheer coach for a long time, and you've been at the forefront, obviously, of a nationally recognized program. In your opinion, why did it take CIF this long to kind of get up to speed on this?
I think that there's a preconceived notion about cheer that it's not a sport. I mean, this topic has been debated for years about it. And I do agree, sideline cheer is not a sport. It involves athleticism, but it's not a sport. Competition absolutely is. And then the new game of stunt is too. So I think just all the debates had to happen. I know Varsity Brands was huge in going to CIF and getting stunt to be recognized. And I was on the CIF advisory panel for stunt and cheer as a sport as well. And, you know, there's so many discussions, even within coaches and high schools, and a lot of coaches didn't want it to become a sport, and a lot did. And there's just so much debate and controversy over so much stuff. It definitely does change what we knew about cheer. Not being able to compete or do things on Sundays definitely puts a damper on things. The amount of hours you can practice, et cetera. So following the CIF rules for a lot of programs really changes programs. I have always followed the CIF rules and considered cheer a sport since I've coached, because the girls do need to be recognized for their athleticism. just a lot of debate on it, and, you know, you just really needed the people to get in there and really push for it.
Now the girls are able to choose this, you know, as a sport to participate in, are we going to start seeing an influx of girls who are already involved with athletics, you know, maybe choosing cheer now and going in that direction as an athletic choice?
I think so. I know with my program, I have about 9 different teams to satisfy everybody's needs. The sideline now is perfect for girls that only want to cheer at games but want to play other sports that can't do the commitment of time for a competition-level program. You know, they want to cheer at the games, they want to cheer on their friends, their football players, et cetera, but they also maybe want to play water polo or volleyball, et cetera. So this kind of opens it up a little bit to athletes being able to do both. And then, you know, maybe some of the more hardened gymnasts and things like that, it'll enable them to do stunt because maybe they just want to tumble. They don't want to dance and cheer and that kind of stuff. They just want to, you know, show their athletic skills. And since a lot of schools don't have gymnastics anymore as a sport, this kind of fulfills that need a little bit as well.
Corey Johnson, the cheer director at Costa Mesa High School, our guest this week on Catholic Sports. Now, I mentioned, you know, Costa Mesa High School, national champions. Explain that to us, how that happened and what that means.
Well, we competed at USA Nationals in Anaheim back in February, and we won in 2 divisions. We won in timeout cheer and in small non-tumbling. So super excited to bring back national championship to our school. We also went to Florida. That's where everybody sees, you know, on ESPN and everything. And we took 2nd in the nation, which was incredible. You know, Florida is the pinnacle of national competitions and stuff. So just amazing that our little school from Costa Mesa that has 1,200 students that can compete with these teams from the South, and these, you know, they come out of the womb doing toe touches, we always say. You know, they're so into cheer in the South. So it's pretty amazing that we are able to compete with those people and keep up at that level. And we, this year, we just had an amazing season. And hopefully it'll continue with stunt this season with our winning.
We see most of the girls, obviously, on the sidelines of the football games, and they've got their pom-poms and their boxes they stand on to cheer. That's usually, I think, the thought in our mind when we think of cheerleading. What made you want to step it up a notch and build this program at Costa Mesa High?
Well, I went to Costa Mesa with you.
Mm-hmm, yes.
You know, cheered you on when you played football. So I bleed green. I love Costa Mesa. I love, you know, a lot of times that people don't necessarily think of it as one of the, you know, forefront in sports, et cetera. So for me to be able to take our cheer program and make it be one of the nationally recognized programs is amazing. I want to be able to give my girls every opportunity that they can have to participate in things. So when the direction of cheer started flowing into a sport and stunt and everything, I knew, you know, this is huge and it's groundbreaking. So I wanted us to be in the beginning of it so that we could help move this movement and have cheer be a sport, et cetera. But mostly it's, I want the girls to have every opportunity that they can have, you know, and my administration has been great. My girls have been great. My parents have been great. It's hard work. It's hard work going from we go from Florida into USA Nationals into, we actually start in our high school musical because they did the production of Bring It On, into stunt. Like, so literally from January through now, these girls have not had a break at all. You know, and usually this is their dead period. And they still are just as pumped. They want to win a CIF title. They're just excited for the opportunity and the opportunities it can bring them for college as well.
How many other schools across Orange County are we seeing at the level of what your program's at?
Well, sadly, for stunts, there are only 3 schools in Orange County participating this year. There's over 200 in the state of California, but only 3 in Orange County. So that kind of inhibited us a little bit because we're playing teams from Elsinore and Redlands and up in L.A. And, you know, these schools are driving 2 hours to get to us just to play some games. But hopefully next year and the following year, more schools will come aboard and realize that this is an amazing aspect of cheer. So right now in Orange County, it's only Crean Lutheran, Costa Mesa, and Godinez High School doing it.
Do you see more schools now, maybe because CIF has said, okay, this is a sport, and now it'll open up, we'll see more schools open to it because of that fact?
Oh, absolutely. I think next year it's going to double in size with the schools participating in stunt, and I'm really excited about it. There's a lot of schools that, you know, the season ends in May, but there's a lot of schools just now joining. Like, we're late to the game, but we want to at least play 1 or 2 games and learn this stuff. So it's really exciting that it's even grown as much as it has this year. And next year, this could be huge. This could be every single school. And, you know, it's just, it's an amazing opportunity. And I'm just really thankful that we're we're in it from the ground level.
Yeah, I would imagine there are some other coaches in Southern California who maybe want to pick your brain, want to find out how you did this, right?
Absolutely, and they're always welcome to call me and find out and come to our games and know what's going on. And the STEM Association has so many resources for coaches that want to get their schools involved next year to talk to their administrators, their districts, et cetera, so that they can get on board.
Explain to us how this is different than gymnastics, because I've heard that. Some people say, oh, it's just another version of gymnastics, but it's much more than that, right?
Right. It's actual stunting, which people are familiar. Even if you've just gone to a football game, seeing the girls toss each other in the air and lift each other up and spin and do all of that stuff. But it's technical. It's all about execution and how well you do it. And the tumbling is third quarter, but it does give the girls a chance to shine at showing their tumbling skills. But it's not, you know, there's not the vault, there's not the beam, there's not the bars, it's not a whole gymnastics routine. Mm-hmm. It's cheer tumbling, you know, and then stunting, which is my favorite aspect of cheer, other than cheering on, you know, our athletic teams.
Just explain to us how the point process works, how you get points in this, and who are the judges? Because, it's, you know, as we mentioned, it's not as widespread, so who's coming in to judge these competitions?
Well, I actually have been a judge for college stunt for the past 8 years. So it's mostly made up of cheer industry people, coaches, et cetera. You had to go through a full training so that you understand how to do it. So there is, just like official, you know, just like referees for basketball games and football games, there is training and you have to be chosen and pass exam and everything to make sure that you know what you're doing. To get the points, while you're performing your routine, the judges sit and they do major and minor mistakes. And so going through the list of what a minor mistake would be, wobbles, counts off, et cetera, as opposed to major deductions, which would be obviously falls or altering the routine, et cetera. And then you compare how many minor and major deductions from each team, and whoever has the least amount gets awarded the point for that round. You can tie.
You can have ties.
Let's say you both have two minor deductions. You could tie for that round, and you each get a point, or nobody could get a point because you both messed up so badly that you got so many major deductions. You know, so there is strategy involved. You obviously want to call your better routines, and if the other school can't perform one of the levels as well, you know, you call that because you obviously would have the upper hand. And then you just strategize on what's going to be best for your team and what you know that you're able to perform and that you're going to get the point for.
Because you've been at the forefront of this for so long, what does it mean to you personally, and what has it meant to the girls, you know, to have this finally be recognized?
I think it brings the girls so much pride because now they really are considered a sport. You know, there's so many times on campus, both teachers and students, like, oh, cheer's not a sport, cheer's not a sport. And, you know, we can bring home all the national titles in the world and we still get people saying it's not a sport. Well, now we're a sport. We have a game tonight. It's the game of the week at our school. Our trainer's there. I mean, you know, it is the same as going to a basketball game or a football game. So I think that brings them so much pride that they're getting a little bit more respect for what they do. For me, I love seeing the sport grow, and I love seeing my team grow, the whole industry grow, and just take pride that I'm part of it and that I'm able to bring it to these girls. And, you know, they're so excited to win, and to have that feeling is probably the best feeling in the entire world. You know, when you win a football game, when you win a basketball game, the pride that those players have, that's all a coach needs.
Well, absolutely. And we're excited here because, you know, we cover sports on our show and we love it. And I know it's been a sport, obviously the athletic ability involved to be able to do this, but now it's finally recognized. CIF is finally on board and we're excited about it. Corey Johnson, thanks for joining us this week on the show. Good luck. Good luck in your game and good luck in the future as well. And we'll continue to follow this as I know it's going to grow here leaps and bounds in the next couple of years here.
Thanks, Bob. I enjoyed being the guest.
Absolutely. That's Corey Johnson, cheer director at Costa Mesa High School. And guess what, folks? Cheer is finally recognized as a legitimate sport here in Southern California, and it's all for the betterment of the kids that are participating in it, and we're excited to cover it. I want to thank all my guests this week, Corey Johnson, Bert Call, Ron Blanc, and Matt Marujo. If you want to catch this show or any of the others, simply log on to OCCatholic.com/radio, and all our shows are archived right there. And if you'd like to drop us a line, CatholicSportsView@gmail.com. We always welcome comments and story ideas as well. We love covering everything in the Trinity League and so many great things to talk about here each and every week. And we thank you once again for joining us. I am Bob Gibson, and we'll see you next week right here on Catholic Sports View, where athletics meets faith.
Underwritten by the Roman Catholic Diocese of Orange, a community of 1.3 million Catholic faithful on a journey of faith together.
Join us this year at the annual Orange Catholic Foundation's Conference on Business and Ethics at Hotel Irvine, Friday, May 4th. This year's breakfast event will feature a keynote by Cardinal Timothy Dolan and a Lifetime Achievement Award for Modern Day's Coach of the Year, Bruce Rawlinson, and other surprises.
This is Father Dave Dwyer, and I'll see you on May 4th.
To purchase tickets or be an event sponsor, go to orangecatholicfoundation.org. That's orangecatholicfoundation.org.